Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Breaking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. We are going to journey this week with a book that I absolutely adore. I fell in love with this book, oh gosh, I don't even know now, maybe sometime last year. I talked a little bit about it on the show, but here we are finally talking about Our Lady, Undoer of Knots, A Living Novena, A Guided Meditation from the Holy Land, from Marge Finnellan, from Ave Maria Press. So hopefully I'm saying Marge's name correctly. I meant to check with her first. I will check with her definitely before Wednesday. And Marge, if I'm saying your last name incorrect, Finnellan, F-E-N-E-L-O-N, I'm sorry, and welcome to the group. Welcome to the club of all of those poor people whose names Allison has been unable to pronounce. I really don't understand why the Lord decided that this would be a good job for me and then not teach me how to pronounce words. I suppose if he needed somebody polished, he would have found somebody. I love that expression, you know, that he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And he, through many, many intercessions, especially from our Blessed Mother, definitely felt this is what God asked me to do. But goodness gracious, some days, I'm just not sure. I'm not sure why I can't pronounce things. It's crazy. So Marge Finnellan. It's a great last name. I can't wait to actually hear it spoken. And again, I apologize, trained professional that I am, that I didn't check with that ahead of time. But the book is Our Lady, Undoer of Knots, A Living Novena, A Guided Meditation from the Holy Land, from Ave Maria Press. And I'm sure I'm saying all of those words correctly. I talked about it last summer when I was doing my 54-day Rosary Novena. When I finished, I had received Our Lady, Undoer of Knots book and A Living Novena, and absolutely love the prayer of Our Lady, Undoer of Knots. And at that time, we had just really started to undergo some serious trials in our home, financially, my health, my son, my father-in-law. There were so many things that required great prayer, powerful prayer, that I turned to Our Lady and this book, and I did A Living Novena with the book, and I shared that. I'll find the links of which show those were and share them in today's show notes. I hope you're enjoying your day off today. Actually, it's President's Day. I'm not sure how many people get that day off. It's usually the kickoff for school for vacation. It is around here. My husband has the day off, and my daughter, they've headed off to Bass Pro Shops. It's their thing to do when they have a day off, and not sad when they leave me out of it. He was like, oh, I know what we'll do this morning to give you some peace and quiet, because I do not have the day off. He and Faithy headed off to Bass Pro, feed the fishies, and I don't even know what else those two do there, but it is their thing. He signs fishy store for her, to indicate to my daughter Faith, who is deaf, what store they're going to. And she just bolts to get dressed and get on her shoes, and off they go for some very exciting, fun father-daughter time. I love, he's just such a great daddy. He's just, I know that he misses the boys being interested in doing things with him. He's just was one of those people born to be a daddy and to spend time hanging out with his kids. Could be his mentality. It's not much more than a 10-year-old boy, 12-year-old boy. We get in so much trouble sometimes when we're together. We went on a marriage encounter weekend. It's supposed to be this really serious weekend of connecting and dialoguing with your spouse. And the two of us, I thought we're going to get kicked out because we are just goofy. We're just goofy people. And everything makes us laugh. And we're the person that you can't even make eye contact with, because somebody will say an innuendo or a joke or just something will just catch you as funny, and you know not to make eye contact with that person, because the person you're with, or the one that makes you laugh, because you know you're going to be in trouble. Yeah, that's him and I. And I'm grateful for it. Maybe it's because we've been together since we were teenagers. I don't know. We're grown up together. Julie is my best friend. Though some days I want to kick my best friend in the bottom, in the buttocks. But I'm sure he feels that same way about me. But no, nowhere near as much as I feel that way about him, right? Because I'm so perfect. Yes, actually today, right before I went on air, I was working on a blog post that will be up very shortly over on ReconciledToYou.com. Added a new feature called Money Mondays on my ReconciledToYou.com blog. After having the Beans on and learning about their program, Navigating Your Finances God's Way, they've very generously sent me a copy of the small group Bible study that I'm doing with my husband and friends of ours. And I'm going to be blogging about that. We're starting next Sunday, the 21st. I will be just sharing what this journey of trying to get out of debt, trying to build our nest egg 26 years later. We still don't have that nest egg. My husband's about 15, 16 years away from retirement. We don't have that either. Just kind of panicking. And so today I was over there blogging about how we got to this point. You know, how do you get where you are so underwater with debt? And it's been kind of an interesting journey for me looking back at, you know, being 18 years old in the 1980s when having a credit card was like the best thing in the world. So I had like 18 of them, 20 of them. Like you had credit cards to every store. There were Fashion Bug and Weather Vane, if you remember any of these stores. I think I even had a Pearl Vision card, Macy's, Filene's. Yes, the malls had just popped up. They were just becoming popular. Every store had its own credit card. Everyone was willing to give away credit. It was like popcorn. it was crazy. And I entered our marriage literally with 18 credit cards at the very least, probably more than that, plus major credit cards, all with some type of debt on them, a car loan, school loans, just swimming in debt. And we entered into our marriage, and I just never didn't have any faith right back then. I didn't really spend much time talking to God or wondering what God wanted me to do with the things that he had given me. Didn't really think about it, but his money, it was my life. It was everything that I thought, and didn't really give him any place in that. And it just snowballed from there, you know, getting married, charging our wedding, charging our vacations, charging our living expenses, being employed, still in college, having children, leaving my job because my son was born premature. I was it immature. Yeah, that child, how dare he be born immature? Oh, my brain makes me laugh. Anyway, he was born premature and I was a paralegal and I left that field because I didn't want him in childcare with his delicate, fragile health. And, you know, just continuing to use credit as income, refinancing 3-4 times, taking money out, again, using that as income, never really curbing our expenses, just always just floating them and adding more and more and trying to increase our income by using credit. It amazes me how much of an ostrich I was when it came to my finances. Just head in the sand, just keep forging forward. It'll be fine. Always thinking like the next thing I do will be how I get out of debt. And it just never worked. So Money Mondays over on ReconciledToYou.com, at least 12 weeks as I go through the program that the Beans, John and Evelyn Bean, have so graciously allowed me to take part in. It's Compass Catholic Ministries.com, and you can also hear them here on Breadbox Media. They're Manage Your Money God's Way. Wonderful program on the weekends here on breadboxmedia.com. I'm learning already so much. It's going to be a long haul. I like quick fixes, really like quick fixes. But that's not God's plan, I don't think. I think that if it was good for me, he would have fixed the problem. I would have won that Mega Millions that we just had, that big, huge lottery. That's how he would have fixed it. But instead, he's making me learn, which is good for me. He's giving me wisdom and grace and understanding and how to be a better steward of the things that he gives me, the money that he, it's all his. I'm just loaning it. And, I'm gaining knowledge. So hopefully I'll be able to pass this knowledge on to my children, as I was not, and I don't really blame my parents. Again, it was the 80s, and I just think it was a mentality that you just didn't talk about certain things, religion, politics, and money. Those are very private things that you just kept to yourself and you never shared. And I think that I'm a product of that. My faith was definitely a product of that. I have no idea even to this day what my parents' faith life was like, what it is like. I have no idea how they feel. Neither, I know that they both sporadically go to Mass, but they're no longer together. They're divorced, and my dad's remarried, and this, it's just an interesting dynamic. And we don't talk about those things, politics or money, and really got myself into trouble that way. But Lord is, the good Lord is so good to me. He's good to all of us, and he gives us these opportunities if we just open up our eyes and seek them and accept them when they come. And for me, it's navigating your finances God's way. Go over to Money Mondays on my blog and check that out. You are listening to me, Allison Gingras, here on A Seeking Heart on Breadbox Media. We're going to go to commercial and be right back.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. You're probably wondering, why is it so quiet today? Allison, I wanted to jam to the music. Well, technical difficulties, they arise now and then. So no music yet. It's kind of making me completely out of whack. I can't believe what a creature of habit or my muscle memory is for that music to get me into rhythm when we come back from breaks. Kind of funny. But we're working on it. But I'm still here. And I hope that you are too. I hope that the lack of music hasn't sent you away. If you'd like to join the conversation, I'd love to hear from you. 573-4BREAD-4. 573-4BREAD-4. We're talking today about Our Lady and Doer of Knots, a living novena, a guided meditation from the Holy Land from Marge Fenelon of Ave Maria Press. That's this week's book. And I'm also just chit-chatting about money and Lent. I want to know how your Lent is going. I was just reading I think it was Danielle Bean had made a post or an email that I got from her on her newsletter talking about, how's your Lent going? It's just something that Catholics seem to say to each other. And if you're not a practicing Catholic or you've been away, maybe it just seems like a weird question. Like, what a strange thing you people do. Like, how's your Lent going? But it's just the kind of the same way of saying, like, what do you think of this weather? Or, you know, how have you been? It's just how we communicate. And I love knowing how people's Lent is going. I love to know, like, what you've decided. I know it says, you know, practice in private, but I don't know. I think there's nothing wrong with encouraging each other in this journey during Lent. It's such an abundance of grace and a wonderful thing that we are church all together. We are one body in Christ, and I think that it's important to support each other and chat about Lent. I love knowing how people's Lents are going, what you're struggling with and what you're succeeding with. 573-4BREAD-4, 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 if you'd like to join the conversation this morning and let me know how your Lent is going. My Lent is going really well. Praise God. So far, what 1 week, not even a full week yet, I'm still doing okay. Every year, I don't even know how long I've been doing this, 7, 8 years now, maybe more, I've given up television for Lent. And you don't realize how much the television sucks up your free time until you give it up. And on Sunday, it became even more apparent because I had a couple of writing assignments to complete, and I was struggling to complete them because I had made the mistake of putting on the television. Well, because Sundays is, it's a day where you get kind of respite from your Lenten promises. If you do the math, if you start on Ash Wednesday and enter and count the days until Easter, you see that there's more than 40 days, but we're called for 40 days of fasting. It's because Sundays is that day of rest from the Lord. We get rest from our work and we get rest from our sacrifices. And I watch television. I tried a couple times to go all 40 days and I never made it. But Sundays, it's fine. And it's in it for me. Actually, I was thinking yesterday as I struggled to get my work done, get my writing completed, I thought, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be working today. So it's okay for me to put my feet up and just glut on television for the day. I didn't actually end up there the whole time. I had to go get my daughter from her godparents' house. She went to the Ice Capades. Talk about stuck in the 80s. Disney on Ice. Her Christmas present from her awesome godparents was a sleepover and a Disney on Ice with her little cousin JJ. And they had a ball. Well, I shouldn't really call her a cousin. Well, she's kind of a cousin, second cousin. Anyway, my cousin Heather, I call her like my sister cousin. I don't know if you have any sister cousins, but for me, she is much more than just a cousin. And I get to be her daughter's godmother, and she gets to be my daughter's godmother. It's just amazing how the Lord can give you just such amazing family. I mean, I've talked about my struggles with some of my other family members, so I think it's only fair I talk about the ones that I do have great relation who I adore. So I did get a little bit of out yesterday, but I also want to share something from my experiences yesterday. I've been sharing a lot about my food issues and my menopause and my stomach issues, and I gluten-free and dairy-free. And yesterday, I've been feeling so good. I was like, you know what? I can have a little gluten. I can have that egg roll. We got Chinese food. It's a tradition for her and her husband to get Chinese food for Valentine's Day. I hope you had a nice St. Valentine's Day. So we got some Chinese food, and there was these lovely looking egg rolls. And so part of me says, you know, I've been feeling fine. I can do this. I can have one egg roll. It's really the dairy that really gives me a problem, but I can eat this. Can I tell you, I couldn't. It was stupid. I've just been feeling so lousy all morning. And I thought, why? Why do I do this to myself? And I think that we as a society really don't realize what an addiction food can be, what a trial it can be for people who struggle with using food as a comfort, or, you know, even consciously or unconsciously. On Thursday at Deacon School, at Deacon School every night somebody else is responsible for bringing in dinner. We eat it pretty late, but it's considered dinner. And this week, the person brought in pizza, and that was all that was offered, was pizza. There was no salad, just pizza. And that's fine. Like, that's his his prerogative. I need Bobby Brown to be singing this song for me now. It's my prerogative. See, now I can say it if I sing it. That's it. I got to sing the whole show now. I can no longer talk. I can only sing. I'm like Mel Tillis. Is that his name, Tillis? The only one he had a stutter when he spoke, but he could sing beautifully without the stutter. So that's what I need to do. I just need to sing my life away. No, you're safe. I do sing beautifully, but I'm not going to sing here the whole show. That would be just weird. That'd be weird. That'd be even weird for me to do that. But I realized that I really struggle with this. So that they brought the pizza, and I realized I couldn't eat anything. There was someone else who brings in an assortment of nuts. So it wasn't like I was going to starve. Oh, and I had ate before I left at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. So it wasn't exactly like I was going to starve it up. But there was just something about not being able to eat what was put there that made me profoundly sad. Like, I had to go into the ladies' room and kind of collect myself. And as I'm sitting in there, I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. You're going to cry because you can't eat pizza. You're going to cry because there's no food for you, which was totally not even true. And then fast forward to Sunday when they, you know, I we ordered, my husband loves egg rolls. We ordered those, and I'm thinking, I can eat that one, because I'd had a cookie sometime during the week, and it was fine. It was a tiny little cookie, and I was like, oh, I didn't have any repercussions from that cookie. I'm fine. Yeah, not so much. But the fact that I just couldn't allow myself to be deprived really bothers me. And so as I'm going to actually pick up and do the Our Lady Undoer of Knots Novena again, starting today and through the next 9 days, even though I've already done it, I want to do it again. That she just, Marge gives you so many wonderful ponder points that help us to grow spiritually and mentally, and especially during this time of Lent. And there's just always so many things on our hearts that we need to sort out. And, you know, I really thought that I had sorted out this issue with food, but yesterday proved, and this morning has proved, that's not so true. That we really have to give, I have to give a lot more thought and a lot more, and hand this over to God. I think that the bottom line of my finances and my anxiety and my food issues all come to the point that I am not willing to hand these over to God, that I am holding on to them for dear life. Like, they're so a part of me. They're so ingrained in me. I don't know what life will be like without them. I don't know what life will be like without ever having ice cream again. Though Ben and Jerry's has come out with a dairy-free ice cream, and I can't wait to get my paws on it. But I know it won't be the ice cream I'm used to, that soft serve, yummy, textured deliciousness that I crave. Like, it won't be these things that I crave. It reminds me again, maybe the other book I need to pick up is Mary Tatars Paust's Cravings book, also from Ave Maria Press. Perhaps it's time to revisit some of the wonderful teachings in there from Mary Tatars Paust, perhaps that's, but I feel like I'm holding on to my money and the control of my money. Like, it's really hard. The other part of my Lent, talking about how am I doing on Lent? And my other part is trying not to spend money for Lent, a no spending money Lent. And, you know, my computer is on the fritz, and I wanted to go out to eat on Saturday night, which I did, and then realized later, like, oh, wait, that may have been a Lenten cheat. I think I'm not supposed to be spending money, though. Of course, I got to eat, but I'm trying not to spend money beyond the necessities for Lent. I'm trying to learn how to live within my bounds and my boundaries of finances, but it's not always easy because these things become ingrained with us, and I am not letting God into them. You know, even though I feel like I've given God my life, I can see there's still parts of my life that I hold back from God. My finances, my anxieties, my food, lots of different places that I still need to grow in trusting the Lord, which is kind of ironic since I just gave a whole workshop, a whole retreat on Saturday on trusting the Lord. But I'm always very honest that I teach because I also need to do. I also need to grow in these areas. And every time we come together and talk about them, I think I gain a little bit on them. And I hope that you do too. And if you'd like to share any of that, again, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. And yippee-doo, Alex, you rock. There's our music, which is also telling me it's time to go to a break. We'll be right back with A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. And welcome back the music for A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I love that music. I don't know if you know the story behind it or not, but when we were preparing to go live in January 2015, when Breadbox Media launched, one of the things I needed was bumper music. I had done a show for a while, but I never had music I did a local show, but we never had any music. So Jennifer Longworth said, what kind of music do you want? And I said, I don't know, jazzy upbeat. And so she did a Google search for jazzy upbeat on the free music that we use, the whatever that software is. And this is what came up. And I think it's perfect. It is so jazzy and so upbeat. And I just love it. So I think it's funny how the Holy Spirit just guides us to what we need when we need it. So this happens to be something a little trivial, you know, the music I needed. But I also think that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, you know, the Lord through the Holy Spirit guides us. As he said, he promised when he ascended into heaven, he promised to send us the guide, the advocate, the paraclete, the all those words that mean the Holy Spirit, who will act in our life to guide us if we allow him. Remember that whole thing is always at work to be open to what God wants to do. And at the end of last segment, I was talking about how food and money and, you know, worries and all those things that overcome me, my fear of death, my fear of being ill, my fear of losing people I love, my fear of fire, my fear of mosquitoes, you name it. And Allison has a fear of it. All of those things that I hold so close to my chest and don't allow the God of the universe, the God into, like, I profess that I love him with my lips, but I don't always follow through with my heart. That's why I call this a seeking heart, because I know that I have a head knowledge of God, but I need to work harder at letting down those defenses and letting God into my heart. The irony of me saying let me work harder is that I actually, the secret is to work less hard and to just let God be who he is in my heart and in my life and not work so hard at it, because God, he makes it easy. He's never going to ask us to do something that's difficult. He's just not mean. He's love. He's good. He is all good. As Jesus said, you know, somebody called him good. He says, why do you call me good? There is only one who is good, and I am not he. So God is the one that is good and who brings the good. And he allows the stuff that's not so good. But in it, he promises in Romans 8:28 to bring good from it. But all of it requires us to trust that he is at work in our lives and he is at work in the situation that we are in. There is a talk on Lighthouse Media. It's a trust talk, and I wish I could think of the name of it right now. I will definitely find it and throw it in the show notes, because this is just a off-the-cuff thought that's coming into my head, so I'm not prepared to share it. But I think it's Father Richter. R-E-R-I-T-C-H-E-R. I think that's his last name. And he talks about trusting the Lord. And he tells this great analogy, this story to help us remember God's work in our life. And he talks about this little boy that goes to the playground. And he's fretting and he's pacing and his face is all scrunched up with worry. And his two little friends are playing in the sandbox and going down the slide and just walking, you know, going through the monkey bars and having a grand old time. And finally they stop and they look at him and they say, what is wrong? Why are you, you know, what's going on? Why are you pacing? And he says, oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to get my house heated, and I got these bills to pay and the food on the table, and, you know, I have keep a roof over my house, over my family's head. And, you know, I've all these, you know, the car running is not running right, and just all these problems and concerns. And the two little boys look at him, this other little boy, and they say, oh, well, we don't worry about that stuff. We just let our dad take care of it. And that's always kind of struck me. I struck a chord in my heart, like, oh, to let my dad take care of it. You know, I, as a child of God, I'm not supposed to be concerned with a great many things, like Martha and Mary. You know, she comes to Jesus comes to her home in Bethany, and her sister Mary sits at his feet and takes in all he has to offer and share. And she's off, you know, trying to get a meal on the table and get the house tidied up and wait on everybody. And Martha comes to Jesus as they sit reclined and say, Jesus, do you not see what my sister is doing? Like, hello, make her come help me. And Jesus looks at her and says, Martha, Martha, you are concerned about a great many things, but only one thing is required. And that one thing is to give ourselves to God, is to rest in the Lord, is to open up our hearts to hear what God has to say and for what he's going to do in our lives. And that Mary, he says, has taken the better part. Now, he's not telling us that we need to just sit on our bums and at the feet of Jesus and listen to what he has to say 24/7. No, there needs to be a balance. What Martha is doing is not bad. We are called to serve, but we're also called to not worry. You are concerned or worried about a great many things, Jesus says. We're not called to worry. We're called to trust that the Lord is providing and knows what we need. He knows what needs to be done and taken care of, and he's on it. It's hard sometimes because God's timing is not our timing. God's ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55, it says, you know, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. And that's tough because I want God's ways to be my ways. I always think my ways are best because to me, they're the thing that I think is going to bring me comfort. Like, Lord, if you do it this way, it's going to be good. But God says, no, I have a better way because I'm God and you're not. And that's difficult. But what I love about my faith, about the Catholic faith so much, is this gift of our Blessed Mother, who, by the way, she's not just given to Catholics. She's given to Jesus, to all of us who get to turn to her in intercession. And we all have her as our loving mother. And what does a mother do? She tends to her children and she listens and she cares for them and she helps them. And a novena, another great thing that the Catholic Church has, is these prayers that we can offer 9 days in a row. It's just this act of bringing ourselves to prayer and sacrifice of making that time for it and turning to God in deep prayer for 9 days. They're not magic. It's not like at the end of nine days you get what you wish for. It's not a wishing star. But I certainly have never prayed a novena that at the end felt like I'd wasted my time. I've either been given insight onto where it would be better for me to go or to act in a certain situation. I've always given peace, and I feel like I've done everything I can do. I have gone to God in prayer, as he says, you know, come to me, all of you who labor, and I will give you rest. I've come in prayer. I've made my petitions known, Philippians 4:16. Anxiety and nothing, but in everything through prayer and petitions, make your requests known to God, and then the peace that surpasses all understanding will guide your hearts and minds. So I do everything I feel like I have been asked to do. I come to the Lord, I pray, I bring in, so my novenas are always to a saint. Sometimes they're to Jesus in different capacities, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Infant of Prague. Those are two novenas that I'm very devoted to. But also I go to Our Lady, and Our Lady Undoer of Knots. Pope Francis talks about this prayer and Our Lady under this moniker quite often. It's this wonderful image of Our Lady with just a rope full of knots, as our lives can certainly get knotted up quite easily. And she undoes them for us. And when I discovered this book, Our Lady Undoer of Knots, A Living Novena from Marge Fenelon, from Ave Maria Press, I was so drawn to it, and I couldn't wait to get my paws on it, and I did it right away, even though she wasn't coming on the show for another 4 or 5 months. She'll actually be on the show Friday, this Friday, yay, finally, February, I think it's the 19th, I think that's, yes, the 19th, yes, 10 a.m. live here. Friday, February 19th, Marge Fenelon will be here talking about Our Lady Undoer of Knots, about her trip to the Holy Land when Pope Francis was there. The book includes many of those stories, and it also includes homilies, pieces of the homilies from Pope Francis during his trip to the Holy Land. Rich, rich book, really. Like, it's this tiny little book. Well, it's a smaller than normal book, and you think that, you know, it's not going to hold much in it, but let me tell you, each word is carefully chosen and holds a great impact to your heart. We've got what God's asking and what God does and who God is, and just the power of what Jesus did when he was walking the world in the Holy Land, and Oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to share a lot more about the specifics of Our Lady Undoer of Knots, a living novena, a guided meditation from the Holy Land from Marge Fenelon on Wednesday and Thursday. Today, I wanted to just touch a little bit upon it, and I had so many other things that are on my heart that I wanted to share with you. I love when I get the opportunity during the month just to give a day of, here, this is what's happening on my heart. And I hope you too will respond again by calling 573-4BREAD-4 or send me a message over at aseekingheart@breadboxmedia.com or allison@breadboxmedia.com. I also want to remind you before we go to break that the Arise Retreat, which is from Good Things Radio, March 10th through the 13th in Ohio, Canton, Ohio, there is still some space left. Speaking there will be Lisa Hendy and Sarah Reinhart, Jennifer Willits, Brooke Taylor, and Ben Walther will be leading worship. It's a very exciting time to come together as we prepare our hearts during Lent, and I hope that you will join us. Again, Arise Retreat, Good Things Radio, March 10th through the 13th. You are listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we will be right back.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We have been chatting this morning about Lent and food and money, just chit-chatting today, preparing for Our Lady Undoer of Knots, a living novena that we'll be covering Wednesday and Thursday here on Seeking Heart and being visited on Friday. Finally, so excited to get to meet Marge Fenelon. She is the author of Our Lady Undoer of Knots, A Living Novena, a guided meditation from the Holy Land from Ave Maria Press. She visited the Holy Land while Pope Francis was there. The book is all framed around that week that they were there, the pieces of the homilies from Pope Francis, which are always inspiring, enlightening, and blow me away. It's probably the first pope that I have had a mature enough faith. And he has the gift. I mean, let's be honest. He just has a gift to reach people in a way that, I mean, John Paul II absolutely had that gift as well, and even Pope Benedict XVI. But his writing was, I felt sometimes, way over my head. It's beautiful. It's inspiring. I love it when other people explain it to me. But there's just something about Pope Francis's writing that people have maybe mistaken him for being simple, but he's not. He's a Jesuit. So we know that he's an incredibly intelligent human being, but he's also so pastoral and really connects on a different way than previous popes, at least in my estimation and in my heart. So I really loved that she included that in her book. There's also included in each chapter her own personal encounters in those stories and in the yes, Allison, these are not difficult words, and I have read the book. Oh my goodness, woman. So she includes just, you know, this connection to the Holy Land, the places they visited and the history of the place they were visiting, along with Pope Francis's words and her own life. She brings it all together in beautiful reflections. See, I knew that it all come to me eventually. And then there's a prayer for each day. So how I did this book, let me just be very simple. Every day, I read the chapter, and then I would read the prayer that she includes, and they're beautiful prayers. I mean, they are absolutely beautiful prayers. The journey begins, let us pray for the gift of humble trust. Well, I'm going to call that a godsend that I just opened up to that page after talking about trust. And I'm going to just read you a piece of this beautiful prayer. Our Lady and Doer of Knots, you faced confusion in your life, and yet you didn't let it overwhelm you. When the angel Gabriel greeted you with the words that were strange to you, you carefully took them in and pondered them. When he asked you to become the Mother of God, you needed to know only one thing. How was it to happen? You accepted not only the conception and birth of Jesus, but also his death and resurrection, all with humility, trust, and faith. And that prayer goes on, and it's absolutely beautiful. All of them, all 9 days, include these beautiful prayers. So you read the reflection, then you do the prayer. And then for me, I prayed the rosary right after. So I would put down the book, and because the rosary, it just says here, pray the rosary, offering it in petition for a resolution to the confusion in your life. Pray also for the peace in the Holy Land. So each day has a different petition based on the topic of the day. And of course, Wednesday and Thursday, I'll dive much deeper into all of that with you. But so you pray for this petition for your own life, and then you pray. She also asks you pray for peace in the Holy Land. And then you pray the rosary. I went out and walked around. Well, this week I won't be doing that because it's a -8 degrees. I think today we're up to about 10 degrees and there's snow on the ground. So that's not going to happen. But I'm definitely going to pray the rosary and for the petitions and do this novena. I hope you'll join me and let me know at the end what the Lord said to you during your novena. Like, what was your outcome? You could either share it here, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can share your experiences with Marge on air on Friday, February 19th. Or, of course, you can always email me at allison@reconciledtoyou.com. Then I would come in from praying the rosary or finish praying the rosary. I also pace inside, I'm going to be honest. My bedroom is the entire length of our top house. It's the attic area. And so I will just pace back and forth. There's just something about movement and prayer, especially when you're safe and you're not walking down the street, that you can get really deep for me and get a deeper contemplative state. So I will pray it, and then you come in, and she has some questions for you to ponder. Stepping out in faith. Take some time, she writes, to think about the questions below, then answer them as honestly as you can so that your heart can continue to grow more and more peaceful. And some of the questions for this day, this would be day 3, and it's the knot of confusion. What kind of confusion do you face in your life right now? And I shared at the beginning of the show that my confusion is really money, our money problems, and trying to figure out how to be a good steward of money after spending the last 47 years kind of not, and how to be a better steward of the body that I've been given, and how to feed it properly. And really, I need to start exercising and taking care of it as it ages and things start to change. I was on Danielle Bean's Girlfriends podcast. I don't think it's aired yet. It's coming out soon. She asked me a question that was like, if you could go back to yourself 15 years ago, so for me, like my 32-year-old self, what advice would you give them? And my advice would be to take better care of myself. I wish I had realized then when I was trying to get healthier and exercise more, I wish I had really found the resolution to do it then. And I think the problem was that I didn't let God into it. And that's been really the problem with many of these things I'm talking about, is that I don't let God in. I just think I can handle it myself. I don't want to use up my God wishes, I suppose. I think I kind of hold on to asking God for help for the big things. Like, well, if there's an accident or death in the family, or, you know, if there's something where we had like November when I didn't know how I was going to put food on the table, like those things, those are God things. But these other things, they don't need God. God doesn't need to be bothered by them. And that's not how it works. As that commercial said, it's not how any of this works. It's my favorite commercial. It's not how it works. God's like, I want to be part of every moment of every day. He doesn't want us to just push him aside and pull him out of our God box when we need him, but he wants to journey with us. He says, you know, yoke yourself to me. If you think about a yoke, think about the two oxen trying to pull the cart, and there's that big wood thing, and there's two holes for two heads, and you put yourself together, you put the two ox together, and they pull the load equally yoked, all together, working together. So God doesn't say, you know, you just pull the car until it gets too heavy and then I'll jump in. He says, no, you know, sign me up now. Put me in that yoke with you now. And you will find that your burden is light, and you will find that all of these things that overwhelm and overcome you will not, because I will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. And I wish I could say that I do that every day and with abandon and the best that I can, but I don't, because I'm human and I'm easily swayed by things and confused by things. And I'm excited this week, really, to bring you Our Lady, Undoer of Knots, a living novena. I'll explain Wednesday what a living novena is, but just know that praying is powerful thing. It's powerful. If you didn't catch Friday's interview with Stephanie Engelman, she is the author of A Single Bead. Again, bringing in that rosary theme. Just love Our Lady and the rosary. And I never thought I would say that, because I always thought the rosary was boring and for old people. And it's couldn't be further from the truth. If you didn't catch Friday's interview again with Stephanie Engelman, pick up, go to breadboxmedia.podbean.com. Do a search for Stephanie, do a search or go under A Seeking Heart, and you can find that interview. I'll have the link in the show notes, because it was powerful stuff. If I didn't believe that prayer made a difference after talking to Stephanie and hearing about her her family's crisis with her husband having a heart attack and what it's been like, and just the blessings and the graces, like, to be in that situation that she is in and to still have her sense of humor and to still have a faith like she does, you know that prayer is powerful, because the rest of us, well, if you don't have that, I would just be a puddle. I feel like I do have a bit of a faith, and I'm still in awe. Like, at some point she was talking, I just couldn't even respond. I was in such awe by her faith and her testimony. So again, Stephanie Engelman, the book is, it's a fiction book, young adult fiction book called A Single Bead, Pauline Books and Media, phenomenal book. We're going to be picking up on Wednesday with Our Lady, Undoer of Knots. You know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to put Stephanie's interview in the queue for tomorrow. Tuesday's show will be a rebroadcast of A Single Bead interview with Stephanie Engelman, because it was just an amazing, amazing testimony to the power of Our Lady's intercession, of praying the rosary. And perhaps that will give us all the encouragement we need to jump into praying this living novena together. Also, at any time during this Lenten season, you want to share how your Lent is going, I'm always interested and open to talk with you. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Or you can send me a message over at Seeking Heart with Allison Jinger's Facebook page, or allison@breadboxmedia.com. If you haven't already signed up for the Catholic Conference for Moms, which launches this Saturday, February 20th, please go to Catholic Conference for Moms. That's the number 4, or just go to reconciledtoyou.com. Reconciledtoyou.com, there's a link for Catholic Conference for Moms. Use the code RECONCILED to get your discount. We're going to pick back up on Wednesday with Our Lady, Undoer of Knots. Don't miss Stephanie's rebroadcast interviewed tomorrow. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.